Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's obviously not a fun thing to think about, but it's one of those things like anything with a will, better to do it now and have your wishes met. So,
yeah, well, as you know, as an attorney who works in the courts, if you don't state your wishes, what do they do?
The state decides.
That's exactly right. So there is a plan. It's either your plan or the state has a plan for you.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Planantials Podcast, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here tonight with fan favorite Natasha. Hello, Natasha. Welcome back. It's been a long time.
Hi, I'm so, so happy to be back. It has been too long.
And you have lots of updates.
Lots of updates. Lots of updates, which is why we're doing this pod together.
Yes, I thought this would be a good thing to talk about. You know, I actually don't think, despite the fact that we've been doing episodes consistently, I think for 6 years now, I don't think we've ever done a dedicated episode to this. We've talked about it with various guests. But I don't think we've ever done planning for a baby episode.
Yeah, so the update is I'm pregnant. and yes, I wanted to come on to talk to you a little bit about planning for a baby. I had met with you separately. You gave me some good tips and tricks. And I think we kind of wanted to discuss this so your listeners could hear it as well. But I guess quick background on me, prayers wise, is I'm currently 7 months pregnant. I'm due in January. And yeah, it feels like it's coming really quickly. I will say the first part of the pregnancy felt endless. I had really bad nausea the first trimester. So shout out to any other moms out there that experience that. It is hellish. So that part felt endless. But now that I'm feeling okay, it feels like it's going really, really quick. But yes, but very exciting. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Can't and wait. A very big change financially.
Yes. I was going to say, can't wait to have no more expendable income in the future.
You might still have some, but it is a really Maybe big some. Change financially, mainly, which we have talked about on the show. And we have had a lot of guests come on and talk about in their area, childcare, right? So one of the big things.
Yeah.
Is planning for childcare cost. And so we can start there. And then there's a couple other things you need to do as well to plan for having a baby from a financial standpoint. But childcare is super expensive. So what is your thought with childcare?
Yeah, so I'm actually, so with childcare, what's crazy is, so I'm in the Hudson Valley. And what was kind of crazy is kind of starting to like delve into childcare options. So I fortunately, I'm getting 4 months maternity with my job. My husband gets 6 months paternity. It's great. I'm not bitter about the fact that he's getting more than me. I'm very happy about it. We're going to kind of divvy it up. So all in, there'll be 8 months of one of us with the baby. But at that point, I had to start looking.
Wait, so it's six and four.
10 months total, but we're doing the first two together. I'll do the next two by myself, and then he'll come back and do 4 months. So 10 months total, but the way we're dividing it up, it'll be 8 months of one of us with the baby. So we had to look for specifically childcare that takes babies that young. I mean, and some people, when they're looking for like starting at 6 weeks. So that was the first challenge. A lot of the daycares in my area were like 18 months and older. So we did find one. It's a national daycare, and it's about 45 minutes from our house, but it's only about 10 minutes from my office. So that'll be something where I think I will just take the baby with me on the way to work, drop it off, pick it up, and then I'll kind of be like the chauffeur for it. But I'm trying to think of the pricing. I want to say that for actually, hang on, let me pull up the pricing right now. But I think that was something that was a little I think on
Shocking.
one of my episodes, yeah, it was like the closing cost led me to tears. This wasn't nearly that bad, but it was like, wow, that is pretty pricey. So I'm just gonna pull up the pricing.
Perfect. But yeah, I would agree. I would say probably there's other things we need to discuss about planning for a baby, but one of the big financial changes is absolutely going to be childcare cost since you're
Yes.
going to
So
stay working.
yes. So for infants, for this childcare place, for infants for 5 days, the total cost for the month is $2,220. So I will say that recognizing, I think that's probably on the low end compared to what some people pay in like more metropolitan areas. So yeah, so that was something. One tip I can give to other people out there who are doing this right now is definitely reach out early. So I'm 7 months right now. We'll have 8 months of one of us watching the baby. When I contacted this daycare about having, an 8-month-old enrolled in the pricing, their wait list is 8 months. So exactly. And I'm not in New York City. I like, so that was something that was surprising. So we have time, but I think that was what was shocking to me. I kind of assumed like, all right, so we sign up the kid, they start in a few weeks, but they have an 8-month wait list. So that's my big tip there. If you're early pregnant, definitely start looking and researching and seeing how long the wait lists are, getting pricing, so you can start to budget that. But that was shocking to me. So yes.
And that's also a big expense. That's not significantly, I mean, it's close to your mortgage.
Yeah, yep. That stings. Yes, that's actually correct. I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, so that's a second mortgage. Yes.
And so I feel like you and your husband have been pretty comfortable budget-wise. So this is a really big, and you're splitting it 50-50, I presume. So,
Yes.
it's a big budget change. I mean, it is, we've heard of like really high numbers, but it is for one child where I think it gets really expensive. I mean, not to say this isn't expensive, it is, but if you times that by two and it's like your biggest payment of the month.
Yes.
So it is definitely going to be a budget change.
Yes, yeah. And I think we actually met with you, and one thing I think that was great piece of advice you gave us too is we started a brand new bank account that was specific to like baby expenses. This kind of being one of it. So our goal financially, and I think we began this last month, is so we open this bank account, we do direct deposit from our paychecks, just so it immediately goes in there. But our goal was by the due date of having $6,000 saved. And this way there's just kind of like a cushion already. So like if we end up being able to not touch that till the daycare kicks in and we can keep adding to it, great. If, obviously there's so many expenses with babies, diapers, this and that, at least there's already a cushion there that we can start to build down from, so to speak. So I know that kind of seems like, of course you would do that, but I think it was one of those things where all these baby things come up. So having you actually be like, no, do this today, open the account and just immediately start it. We've already saved so much. So like, I think that's another great tip that you gave us of just start doing it as soon as possible. And then this way it'll kind of take the sting out and you already have like a little bit of an egg nest built there.
Yeah, have a bit of a buffer.
Yes.
So, especially because your job is more stable than your husband, since that was like another concern, is job stability. Because as we know, usually everything goes wrong at once. So, God forbid you have a baby and he loses his job, you just have more cash on hand. And nobody has ever said to me, like, oh, I wish I had less cash. So, I never heard it. So, especially with new expenses. So, not the daycare is 2,200 a month, but that doesn't include diapers or food or. You know, there's all sorts of, or if you get a bill from the hospital, but not all of it's covered with insurance. If there's a part of copay that you have to cover, because that could be expensive. So depending on where you are with your emergency fund, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying out how your new expenses are going to be in advance and just building a little bit of a cash kitty, an additional emergency fund up in advance. Because as you said, if you end up needing it earlier, you'll use it. If you keep saving until daycare cost comes, you'll just have it pre-saved. And then that way it's not as dramatic as, of a change because you're used to that new expense anyway.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And so then the other things we talked about, which you both already have taken care of, is now that you have a child or will have a child, have a baby, it's important to make sure you have the appropriate estate planning documents. So you want to make sure you have a will with the guardianship provision. The guardianship provision, well, you're a lawyer, is stating who's going to take care of the child and take care of the child in the regard of both physically and then financially. And it doesn't have to be the same person. And then I also think that segues into making sure that you have, if you, I think it's important with the baby that you have financial assets for the child. So should you both pass away in a car accident, there's money to help take care of the child until their age of majority. And so that can be done with term life insurance, because everybody knows I dislike permanent insurance for most people. I'm not going to make a broad statement, but generally for most people, term insurance is good. And you both already have term insurance. So you would address that in the guardianship provision. Who would handle the insurance proceeds for the benefit of the child?
Would that be something where we'd have to update the beneficiary? So if on my life insurance, once the baby's born, let's say the baby is named, you know, like Mia Rockstar, would I put Mia Rockstar as a beneficiary, like of the, or that, or is that only triggered by a guardianship provision?
Right, because remember, the child when born will be an infant, and so an infant cannot inherit because they're, you have to be age of majority. So basically what would happen is you would put in your will, there would be a guardianship provision, should my husband and I both pass away, the child will be cared for, we'll just say, by me, by Barbara Ginty, and then the money will be, we'll just say there's another sibling, by my husband's sister is going to handle the money. Or however.
Okay.
And then the insurance proceeds would go into trust for the benefit of the child. And there would be a trustee for the trust. So who could run the money?
Okay. Got it. Got it. Okay.
So it doesn't have to be the same person. So like, yeah, it's, well, that's the thing. Like you are an attorney, but this is a very specific aspect of law, which is not the law you practice in. And so not everybody knows that. We get asked that question all the time. Like, oh, now that I had a child, I want to add, people will call and say, I want to add them to my account. And like, we can't, they're you know, negative. Okay. They're 2 years old. They can't legally sign a document. You know, they can't sign. Yeah. First of all, they can't sign anything, but legally, from a legal standpoint, it's not, you can't incept a contract by somebody who's not age of majority. And so, what you would do in the guardianship provision is say, okay, so you could say my sister, Barbara, is going to be the trustee of the trust for the benefit of our children. She's going to manage the money, distribute the money as the child needs it. And these are our wishes. They get some money at 18 for college. They get more money at 29 if they have a job and are sober. And you can write all sorts of rules. And then you could even say, and then who's going to care? Maybe you say it's going to.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I go to my husband's family. They're going to, my husband's mother is going to raise the child if should we not be around. So okay. It doesn't have to be the same person. It could be the same person. It could also be separate people. Who's going to care okay. for the child? Who's going to handle the assets for the child? But because you both have life insurance, that life insurance would most likely, depending on what your attorney recommends, go into a trust for the benefit of the child. But you should not be adding a minor to a legal document.
Okay, got it. Good to know.
Yeah, I mean, as a lawyer, that's correct, right? You can't yes, have a minor.
As you said okay. it. So okay. I will say, in my defense, pregnancy brain fog is real and baby brain is real, and I've been making like the dumbest mistakes. So as soon as you were like, yeah, you can't add somebody under 18 to a contract, I was like, oh yes, that's right. But yeah, that's good. I think yeah, that's on our to-do list of meeting with an attorney who does wills, adding in a guardianship provision. I know for me, what I was thinking too is I think I've never done like a healthcare proxy.
Care proxy.
So I know I want to do that before I give birth because my husband
just
will be
case.
There with me. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think I even have one, or if I do, maybe it's like my mom. So that was something I thought of too, of like, I want to make sure it's designated to my husband. So if there is an emergency and he's there, he can like, you know, has the power and authority to make decisions. But yeah, I think that's something that I didn't think about till you said in terms of the guardianship, especially. Like, it's obviously not a fun thing to think about, but it's one of those things, like anything with a will, better to do it now and have your wishes met. So,
yeah, well, as you know, as an attorney who works in the courts, if you don't state your wishes, what do?
The state decides.
That's exactly right. So there is yes. there is a plan. It's either your plan or the state has a plan for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yes.
there will be a plan. So when people say, well, I don't want to think about death. No one wants to think about death, but you already have a plan if you die, and it's dictated by the state government. And so mm-hmm. you can either choose the template that the state has, which you can look up, or you choose your own plan. And then if you choose your own plan, you have to do it yourself, document it appropriately with an attorney, or you can probably use an online vendor as well. But if you don't do anything, people forget that. There is still a plan in place if you choose to do nothing. And the state dictates that plan.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm kind of thinking
it's
like
better to choose. And the other thing I will say is, you already have life insurance, you have term insurance, your husband has term insurance. What I will say is you cannot get term insurance while you're pregnant.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you cannot get a new policy while you're pregnant, at least in the state of New York. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't. You can do it before, you can do it after, but you can't do it during. So we've had people who said like, oh, now that I'm pregnant, I need some insurance because now I'm having a baby. And you can't get it. And if someone knows something different, let me know. But as far as we know, you can't do it while you're pregnant. So that's something to think about.
Wow.
Like if you're thinking about having a family and that's what you intend to do, I would get your life insurance in advance because you would then have to do it after. And obviously with a new baby, that's not probably going to happen right away.
Yeah.
So I think that's
really
something important
tip.
To know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Good thing I got it beforehand. Same with my husband. But I'm trying to think of any other tips or tricks. I will just say this isn't really like a finance one, but shout out to Babylist for a baby registry. They were really, they were really easy. They even have this function where once people buy things, they can like do an Excel sheet of thank yous, like of who you need to send thank you, right? Like,
yeah, that's super convenient.
And they do like price compare. So if you are like, I'm putting this stroller on my baby registry and it's available at Target, Amazon, Macy's. They list out the price compare so you can choose like the cheapest one. Right? It's just like, I think that's something too, as you start to kind of delve into this like parenthood baby world and you learn these like new apps and stuff. It's a whole new part of the internet I've not ever gone into. But I was just like, oh my God, this was so easy. So if you are a new parent or you're about to be and you have to make a registry, Babylist was amazing. So that's another
tip. Shout out for Babylist. Okay.
Shout out for Babylist.
And then the financials are, you want to make sure that you have, most people will want to make sure there is insurance money to care for the child should you and your partner predecease. You want to make sure you have the appropriate estate planning documents, because if you don't have a plan in place, the state has one for you. So it's better to do your own. We don't want the state involved. It's also public. And you've had probably seen this in the court system. While the state is figuring it out, so like, for instance, the courts could be backed up 6 to 12 months, your child could end up in state custody while they're figuring out the process. And people don't talk about that, but it happens.
That's really bad.
Well, when you think about the court system, how far, like in your experience, how long does sometimes things take to get on the calendar for a court?
Oh, it takes a long time. Yeah. I mean, I would say like sometimes from start to finish, it's usually like a year. And that's a different section of the court. I know when it comes to like wills and estates, like that's even longer. So I think to your point, yeah, that's a long time to have a child be in limbo and potentially into the care and custody of the state, foster care. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to complete, especially when a child is involved, in my opinion, you absolutely want to take the time to get an estate plan in place for the benefit of the child. You hope you never need it, but God forbid something happened. You don't want your child to end up in state custody because there wasn't a plan in place and the court doesn't know what to do. So they put them in state custody until it's figured out. And that can absolutely happen. And then also, I think it's important to plan financially because daycare is a big cost, and planning in advance as much as you can is super important. And so going into it with a solid emergency fund and having tried the budget of daycare out in advance, I'm a big believer in, because if you're struggling budget-wise before daycare, it's just, there's like no magic trick. It's not going to be all of a sudden be easier once the daycare bill arrives if you're struggling with
it. Yeah, exactly.
In advance. So those would be my three big things. And I guess the fourth thing I would say, which I don't think we've talked about a ton, is then planning for college. If that's something that's important to you, they have the 529, which I think is a great program. It's, can be off. There's national ones and then there's state specific ones that have state deductions, but it's a great way to save for college. And if the child doesn't use it for college, a portion of it can be put into a Roth IRA for the benefit of the child.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. So if they don't go to college, well, first of all, it's super flexible. So if your child doesn't go to college, you could give it to my child, which would be your child's cousin, if you felt so inclined. Or if you have another child, it can go to your other child. They can move around. So it can stay within the family. It can also go, depending on the like time horizons, it potentially can go to your child's child, which is wild. Oh, wow. Yeah. I think as long as they have a child by the age of 30, it's a very, very flexible program. I don't think all of the nuances of it are often advertised. It's very, very flexible. And now, even if it's not your child or their sibling or their cousin or their future child doesn't want to go to any sort of educational facility, vocational, it's like very flexible university. It can then, a portion of it, I believe as of now, as of 2024, it's 35,000, can be moved into a Roth IRA for the benefit of the child.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So it's a great way to save for the future. Yeah. College or I don't want to say college. It doesn't need to be college. Education or retirement. So the 529, I'm a big fan. I think it's a great program that's in place.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard that I've heard the 529 before, but I didn't realize it was so like flexible in terms of, giving it to a family member. That's great.
And what it's like, and what it can be used for. So like, can it be used for a house? No, but if it moves into the Roth IRA, then it potentially could be used as a first time home buyer. They haven't really, this is a new rule. So I'd have to see how that plays out, but yes, it needs to be a qualified expense. You can't take the money out and buy a sports car, not qualified, but it is a very reasonable program if it's going to be used for education. And then obviously the Roth IRA is fantastic. To put 35,000 in that, if you at 20 is fantastic. So a lot of flexibility with that program, a really great program, I think, if you're looking to save as well, once the child is here for the, future education or future retirement.
Nice. Okay. Good to know. Nice.
Yeah. But those are all the tips. So estate plan, life insurance, budget, but everyone hates budgeting and saving in advance. But I think it's so much better to be, obviously I'm a planner. I like to plan in advance.
I will say like, we've only been doing it for a few months. When we check that account, we see some money already building in there. I have to say it does give you a lot of relief. Like it's not a ton of money. Like I said, our goal was 6,000 by January, but like just kind of seeing it build up week to week, it feels nice. So yeah, it sucks, but it does It is worth it.
I think it'll just take extra stress out. So like when you have the baby, if these expenses are coming up, you're like, okay, we have extra money in our emergency fund now just for the baby. So we've already planned for this. And then you get
Exactly.
used to that like additional monthly expense because you're going to have it with daycare anyway. So
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. Yeah. Good tips and tricks for me, a rock
yeah.
star.
You and me a rock star. Is there anything else, Natasha?
No, I think I'll reiterate again, getting a head start on looking at daycares because like I didn't expect there to be waiting lists. Like I feel like I've heard about it with like really fancy daycares in the city. I just didn't realize. I think it's one of those things that there's so little daycare that the ones that exist, even here in like kind of a more rural area, they're so strapped for space.
Well, and they
But
have limits.
yeah.
They have usually they have state limits on like how many children per person, like per employee they can be, and that's another
That's true
reason
too. And I will
why.
say, so one other tip I found too is depending on your state, so I'm in New York, but New York State, you can look up that daycare's license and you can look up if there's been any complaints against them. So the one that I was looking at, which is really like our only option for, you know, an 8-month-old, they didn't have any. So that made me feel better. But I think, you know, if you don't have a lot of friends that have kids in daycare and you can't really find out if it's good word of mouth, and obviously there's Google reviews, but you know, that's another way. You can go to the state website, who licensed them, and then you can kind of see if there's been any formal complaints, how they were resolved. So that's like another thing you can look at if when you're looking at daycares. But yeah,
That's
that's
a great
really it.
idea.
Yes.
Well, Natasha, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'll have to come back again, maybe postpartum.
Yeah, we'll have to
Might
have
be
a
a little
check-in. We haven't had you
gnarly,
in.
but
Yeah.
yeah.
And for all of our lovely listeners, you can follow along on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok for our most up-to-date information. And I hope this was helpful.
Bye, everybody.
Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.